You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Recent research claims that COVID-19 is a much more severe infection for children than is commonly believed. The study assessed over 3,000 children in 10 countries who had tested positive for the virus. It found that almost a quarter of children admitted to emergency departments needed hospitalization, while four of the children followed died. I spoke to one of the authors, the University of Auckland's Dr. Stuart Dalziel. I began by asking him to give a brief overview of the study and its findings.
We screened over 10,000 children who presented to 41 emergency departments in 10 countries around the world. These children, 95% of them, presented with symptoms potentially attributable to COVID-19. 5% of them were just being screened for COVID-19 because of contact with someone, or they were asymptomatic and screened for something else. So in the 3,200 children who were positive for COVID, what we determined in the study were risk factors for severe outcome. We defined severe outcome as children who were admitted to the intensive care unit and either had support of their blood pressure or support of their respiration. And by that I mean that they were placed on a ventilator or another type of machine for their breathing.
In comparison to like elderly, middle-aged, whatever, how prevalent is this kind of impact in children?
This impact is less in children than what it is in older populations. And I think the narrative kind of around the world, and particularly in this country, is that COVID is a very mild disease in children. And what the study shows is that for a significant proportion of children, COVID really isn't a mild disease. So of those children who came to the emergency department, a quarter of them were admitted into hospital, and 3% of them had severe outcome. And in 4 of the children, they actually died because of their COVID infection.
What impacts then does this have? Because obviously you mentioned that it's kind of common perception that COVID's not super impactful on children, but your research obviously contradicts this. How does this change how we view COVID and its nature?
Well, I think the importance of our research is that we've identified risk factors that doctors in the emergency department can determine who's greatest at risk. So those are children who have had symptoms for 4 to 7 days, children with underlying health conditions, children who have had a previous pneumonia, and children aged 5 years and above. And I think the relevance of the study are particularly in that latter group, so children who are 5 years and above, because as of today, Monday the 17th of January, we're starting to immunise those children in New Zealand. And the immunisation that we're delivering to those children is not really for the protection of their wider family, but also for their individual protection as well. We know that immunisation protects over 90% against hospitalisation and over 90% against severe outcomes as well. So I think the key bit of these findings is a reminder for us to actually go out there and get our 5 to 11-year-olds immunised, just like over 90% of the rest of us have been immunised.
Just going back to something you said before, you said that it's important that doctors and health clinicians are aware that of children who have previous issues and previous things that make them at higher risk to COVID and its impacts. Do you think it's somewhat more predictable in children, the long-term impacts and the more severe impacts?
So the risk factors for children are different than necessarily what the risk factors for adults is. So we had some data in terms of what are the adults that are at high risk, but we lack that data of what are the children at high risk when they present to the emergency department. So being able to determine that actually gives us really elegant data to use in our clinical practice with regards to pediatric patients, and not just merely assuming that children are small adults and attributing the research to adults to pediatric patients.
So it's quite different when we're dealing with children in comparison to adults.
Yeah, children suffer from completely different conditions at age 8 than what adults suffer from when they're in their 80s. And so it's important to get an understanding of these things for children, just like it's important to actually get an understanding of these things for the older adults as well.
Did your study go much into the impacts of long COVID on children?
Yeah, the study has looked at the impacts of long COVID on children. We actually followed up these children to 90 days, and we will have data on this, but that data is as yet unanalyzed, so I can't answer any questions about that at the moment.
No, that's all right. And just about the study, I saw that it's, 3,000 kids in 10 countries were included. Was there any difference between different countries like the United States, like Canada, like New Zealand?
So there certainly was a difference between countries in terms of the number of children that were positive for COVID. And that's because when the study was occurring, as everyone's aware, that the waves of COVID affected various countries at different times. And particularly here in New Zealand, where we've really only had pediatric patients affected with COVID since August 17 last year.
And are the impacts on children, are they somewhat related to socioeconomic factors, or is it more general than that?
It's more general than that. We know from other work that patients who are at the margins of society are more at risk of COVID and more at risk of the outcomes of COVID than patients who are well off from a socioeconomic perspective. It's quite hard actually combining socioeconomic data across 10 countries, so we didn't look at that particularly in depth. What we focused on was their underlying medical conditions and what those children looked like when they presented to the emergency department.
And just back to New Zealand, there's been recent calls for schools to be delayed returning after the holidays, just waiting till kids' vaccination rates are high enough. What do you think about this? Is this something that your data might support?
Look, I think the data supports immunising children, and that's incredibly important. At the moment, we've actually got quite low rates of COVID-19 in our community. And the children, particularly the tamariki in Auckland, have missed out on a large amount of their education last year. And so I think it's important that while we have the low rates of COVID in the country, that actually we continue to let children go to school and that we open up the schools as expected at the end of January and at the start of February. Now, if we had a very large outbreak of Omicron, we may look at re-evaluating that. But currently, I think the educational benefits of going along to school far outweigh any benefits for children not attending school.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.